finished last week, I thought, okay, I know we got at least one more week. But the title is God's Word is Seed. And we've been talking for the last, I don't know, two or three weeks, I guess, about the good ground. We've talked about every one of them. This is the last one. So if you got your Bible, let's go to Luke 8. Excuse me. Now, because we have read this whole parable, we're not going to read the whole thing again this morning, but we are going to start in, verse 10. It says, and this is Jesus talking, it says, and he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And we talked about the word of God, and we used this, went to the scriptures, that it is incorruptible, right? There is absolutely nothing that can ever be wrong with the seed because it's God's word. Verse 12 says, those by the wayside, we talked about that, are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. We said that faith is there. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, you say, or trials or tests, they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now we've been over all of those, so we're not going to expound on those. Verse 15 says, But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Now the Amplified Bible says there, but as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a just, noble, virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruit, said with patience. Now, Beth, you might could just put this up on the screen, Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. We read this one last week. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, notice there, the reason why I read this one is because you got things going on the inside on the inside of you that God knows about. You don't even know they're there sometimes. Other people may not know they're there. But how many knows? He knows everything. There's not a thought, an intent, a motive of our heart that he does not know. And he says there in verse 15, he says that the good ground, they bring forth fruit. He says, how? Number one is an honest heart. Now, I may have to say, because of what I've been hearing this week, not talking about people, from the Lord, I may have to say some hard things this morning. Has nothing to do with you. I'm not thinking about anybody in particular when I say them. I've been doing this a long time, over 20 years as a Sunday school teacher, as a pastor's wife. So I have seen a lot of things. I have been saved a minute, you know, so I have seen and done a lot of things. But he talks about there, he says, in an honest heart. Now, I told you last week, all of us that get born again, heaven is our home. You can't become any more right with God than what you are at that minute that you accept the sacrifice that Jesus done, right? The Bible talks about it, what is it, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if we be born again, we're a new creation in Christ and all that. And he talks about how that he exchanged his life. He took upon himself our sin. We received his righteousness. So we can't be any more right with God than what we are when we get born again. But how many knows God has a plan for every person, and it's our job to find out what that plan of God is. Not my plan, not my husband's plan, not my granny's plan, God's plan, and it's my job to walk it out. And we talked about, we read the scriptures over there in John 15, where Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified. He said that you bear much fruit. So he's talking about fruit here, and when we bear that fruit, God's will gets done in our lives, in the lives of others, here in the earth, and he gets the glory. But he says up there, I think it's about verse 7, he says, if you abide in me. Now that word abide is the same word like over there in Psalm 91. It says, I have made the Lord my habitation. It is a dwelling place. It's a place that you live. that you stay there. You don't come in and out. He said, if you abide in me, in other words, if I am your dwelling place, God is your dwelling place, he said, you will ask what you will, and it shall, he said, I'm sorry, I'm misquoting it, that if you abide in me and my words abide or remain in you, in your heart, this parable, remains in your heart, the thing, his word, he says, then you will ask what you will, he said, and it shall be done unto you. Then he goes on and says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now, everybody that gets born again, God's not their dwelling place. Here we go. There, I have backslid before, so you can't tell me that it can't happen. And it can happen sitting right in the pew. It can happen with you reading your chapter every day. Why? Because this, without the heart engaged in it, in a relationship with God, is like the Reader's Digest, the newspaper, anything else. I have to give value to His Word, to His written Word, to His preached Word, the Word that I get in here. And when He talks about an honest heart there, we just read the Scriptures that there's not a motive that He don't know about. And in an honest heart, well, I'm trying to get ahead of myself here. I got it wrote down. Let's see which one. Look at John 1, 6. 1 John, I'm sorry if I didn't say that. Show you what I'm talking about here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. Let me start in 5. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now he said an honest heart, right? Lying is not an honest heart. And I'm not just talking about the words coming out of your mouth. How many knows we have lies in here sometimes? I'm not saying nothing. Excuses is how we might could say it, of why we do what we do, why we say the things that we say. And God knows it. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now look at James chapter 4. Verse 17, I think it is. Yeah. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is what? You could translate that word darkness. Sandy, there's times I know in here what I'm supposed to do. If you're born again in here, you know to a certain degree the things you're supposed to do. The number one thing that I had desire for when I first got born again was to go to church. Y'all not saying nothing. The number one thing, the desire that I had. Now, before I got born again, I cussed Scotty out. He got saved 2 weeks before me and trying to get me to go to church with him. And I told him, I said, I don't want to hear about you blankety-blank God. Don't talk to me about God. Don't talk to me. I'm not going to your blankety-blank church. Get born again. He comes in from work. And I told him, I said, if you'll go to Sandy's church, I'll go with you. Y'all not saying nothing. See, when you really get born again on the inside, there is a nature change. And when a nature change comes, desires change. The things that you didn't like before, you love and you desire now and you go after. I wanted nothing to do with God. Didn't Sandy, see Sandy come over, act like I'm asleep, act like I'm not home, all kinds of stuff. I don't want to see her. Why? Because she's always talking about this church stuff and this God stuff and telling me scriptures. And I don't want, I'm not into all that. You're being extra. I don't want to hear all of that. But once I get born again, that's the first thing I want to do is go to church. And why? I know it was God. I had never been to Sandy's church. You know? Don't even know why I said it other than how many knows you can be led by the Spirit of God when your head don't even got a clue. That is exactly where we were supposed to be. He said, okay, anything to get me to go to church. I guess I don't know. Maybe he was led to and didn't know it. Sure enough, we go up there. I mean, the first service, we had to hunt somewhere to see because it is just, because it's just packed. And from the moment that I walked in that church the first time until now, it was like home. It was like I've been here all my life. I've known these people all my life. The next desire that I had was to read and study the Word of God. I would read 10 and 15 chapters a day. Travis was 2 years old. I got saved in January. He turned 2 years old in February. So he would take naps in the daytime and stuff. So my desire, when he would take his nap, I'd do my work. And while he was asleep, I'd do my Bible reading. Because I'm not like Scotty. Scotty, 15 different things can be going on. The TV blaring, grandkids. I can't do that. I have to laser focus my attention on the Word. And I would read and study 10, 15 chapters a day. Wasn't because somebody was making me do it. I wasn't legalistic about it. It was like eating when I was hungry. Why do I say all of that? Because every born-again believer, when you get born again, there's a nature change and desires change. If you don't want Him and the things of God, I dare question whether or not you even got born again. I'm not trying to judge nobody or nothing, but when your nature changes, desires change. Now, you may still have some desires that are of the old, that the mind has to be renewed. You still think some of the same ways when you look in the mirror. You still see the same thing. Except now, Sandy, when I look in the mirror, there's times I look in the mirror and I'm like, I see you. I'm not talking about me. Through my eyes, I can see Him. Now, when I'm not close, I look in there and I'm like, where are you? Y'all not saying nothing. But I backslid one time, and when I did, guess what happened? I don't want to go to church anymore. And I had been going to church for a while before I actually quit going to church. So that's why I say it can happen to you sitting in the pew. All it is, your heart begins to go after something else. The flesh begins to dominate where the spirit was dominating. So before you know it, I'm going to the flea market on Sunday, or I'm skipping Wednesday. And before you know it, I don't read the Bible no more. I don't listen to preaching no more on TV. I don't want to go to church anymore. And now I'm back to my old ways. I'm back into drugging. I'm back into all the other stuff that I was doing. Well, not everything, but most of it. I think it was only about 2 months, so I don't think I had quite time enough to go back to everything. But then I had a visitation of the Lord, and I repented. And you know what happened, Sandy? All of that came right back again. I wanted to go to church again. I wanted to read my Bible again. In my heart became engaged. Because see, if your heart is not engaged, the Bible says to put God first. Matthew 6, right? 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He says all these things will be added. You ever thought about what does that mean? Put Him first? We got the song, right? First things first that God gave us. It's the last one that He let me bring here. That means He's first in time. He's first in space. He's first in will. He's first in authority. He's first in every area of my life. His Word, you give first place and final authority. When His Word says something, that is the end of that to you. There is no compromise in that. Now, you might not be able to fully line up with it yet or fully see it in its full manifestation yet, but you keep it first place and final authority. Why? Sickness and disease does not change. By His stripes, you were healed. Doesn't change anything about your finances, right? So, Pete, there's people, and I have done it, and I'm sure probably every one of us in here maybe have done it. There are people, just because you get born again and you don't follow that plan of God, go study the parables about the talents. Right? The one that got five, he gained five more. The one that had two, he gained more. But the one that God gave him one, what did he do with it? Nothing. He didn't get no interest off of it. He got absolutely nothing. And what God call him? You wicked, slothful, lazy servant. What did he do with him? Take what I give him and give it to the one that made the most. And even the people are like, but God, he's already got 10. Yeah, and I'm going to give him this one so he can get 5 to 10 more because he does something what I gave him. So just because we get born again doesn't mean we just then get to go off and do whatever we choose to do. The Apostle Paul, he said, I have made myself a slave to Christ. Jesus didn't make him a slave. He said, I have made myself. What's that mean? Whatever you want, your will is my command. Jesus himself said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. So you got people out here, and I'm not judging. I'm just telling you, we all see what we see. You got people out here, they got born again, yes. But then they run around here like them and Jesus got it all worked out. They don't grow, they don't develop, and they got things that are dishonest in their heart because in their heart is saying going to church, but their head and their flesh is saying go to the flea market, stay in the bed, mow the grass. This is my only, y'all not saying nothing. Somebody better help me in here. And then they think that they're going to get the same rewards of those than in an honest, y'all not saying nothing, in an honest heart. God, I know what you're telling me in here. You know you're telling me to go to church, so I'm going. My flesh don't feel like it. I'm tired. My head's hurt. Whatever the case might be. But out of your spirit, how many knows you direct your life? Now, God has a plan for it. The Holy Ghost will lead you, guide you, strengthen you, whatever he needs to do. But he cannot and will not do it for you. But he will help you. I have seen God time and time again that when it looked like there was absolutely no way possible for me to do the will of God, that God, when I set my heart and did the will of God, that he showed up and made it all possible. Y'all have all heard the story, I'm sure, but I feel like telling it again. I enjoy it myself. I need to remind myself. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Whenever he come up against Goliath, what did he say? He said, I killed the lion. I killed the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, this dude ain't got no covenant with God. He's going to be the same way. But anyway, it was on a Wednesday. We had a half a quarter of a tank of gas, and in my car it would take a quarter of a tank of gas to go to church and back. Well, here it is. Scotty's got just enough gas in his truck to go to work the next day, the rest of the week. So he comes in, you know, and I got it in here. Boy, we got to get to church. We got to get to church. Well, we check the gas can, and it's half of what we need to get there. I mean, when you do this for 8 years, you know how much it takes, right? Well, we make the decision. It is the will of God, Sandy, that we go to church, and we know it. And in here, where there's not anything in here that says, just don't do it tonight. Y'all get what I'm saying? This dishonest stuff. And we want to act like we don't know. We know and he knows we know. So we make the decision, okay, we're going to church. I don't know how, God, what you going to do. Maybe somebody's going to give us some money when we get to church. I don't know and I don't care. We get in the car. We go to church. We start back home. We forgot all about the gas. We come, leave church, and usually on the way home, all we do is talk about the service because it is just so good, and we talk about the Lord, and we talk about the Word. Well, we're doing this till we get over there to, what do you call that road? Yeah, Cleveland Stretch. That's what we call it anyway. Cleveland, that long stretch there from Cleveland to Rose or whatever. Well, about halfway or a little over halfway, the car starts skipping. So Scotty starts rocking, and you rock it. Y'all know how you do that, right? From one side to the other side. I mean, everybody in the car is like a boat, you know, doing like this. And it picks up a little gas, goes a little further, until finally we turn in there at the stop sign beside that little log cabin thing there, and I see it. There is no more gas in there. There's not even, I don't think, any fumes in there. Because we sit, and it is pouring down, it's thundering, it's lightning, it is raining hard. And so we sat there, Scotty keeps pumping the gas, you know, and all that, trying to crank it until we run the battery down. How many knows that takes a couple of minutes? Till we run the battery slap down, it's clicking. Y'all all know the sound, don't you, of a dead battery? It's just clicking. So Scotty says, y'all stay right here, don't get out, don't unlock these doors. I'm going to run to the house and get my truck and come back and get y'all. Because we live on the second little paved road to the left right before you start up the mountain. So we're almost home. He opens the door to go. And he don't know he's being led, D. He closes the door back right quick. Maybe it was the rain, maybe it was leading, I don't know. He said, I'm going to try it one more time. We know the battery's dead. He tries it one more time. He goes, Jun, it cranks up. He looks at me. I look at him, and I say, go. And he stomps it. Boy, here we go. We sat there under our little lean-to thing, amazed at what God has done. Just amazed that, God, you are so, I don't know what you did. I don't know. If you can turn water into wine, maybe you can make some water in my gas tank turn to gas. I don't know what you've done. I don't know how you've done it. I don't care. All I know that you've done it. But the point to that whole story is, Jesus, he said, after you have done the will of God, not before. He says, after you have done the will of God, don't cast away your confidence, your faith, right? Why? It has great recompense or repayment of reward. We sit there amazed, just letting it run. It's not skipping. It's just running. We finally get out. We go in the house, you know. Scotty goes to work the next day. He comes in and brings some gas, you know, and everything. In order to get this car to crank, you got to prime the carburetor. You got to pour the gas in the tank and just pump the hound dog out of it, so to speak, and it finally cranks. It's sitting there in the driveway running the night before until we cut it off. Why am I saying all of that? Because God makes the impossible possible. But you and me, by faith, must go and do his will first. And anything that we need in between there, strength, health, finances, understanding, it don't matter what it is, he will provide it. But you got to be on your way. You can't drive a parked car. See, and faith is trust. What tests trust the most? Time. Time, and that's where we are in this. Patience, right? Now, so the things that are on the inside, you've got to go by what you got in here. And if you know the will of God is something, and in here you're dishonest, you got your little bag of excuse. I can't stand that when I see that on Facebook. Somebody come on there and say, do y'all think I need to fast? Do y'all know what the scripture says about that? Are you kidding me? Why are you thinking about it? The devil don't never tell me to think about fasting, D. Never in my entire life has my flesh or the devil ever told me to fast. Anytime I think about it, my flesh starts saying, I don't think we need to today. Let's do that tomorrow. Then tomorrow gets, I don't think we need to do that today. You know, we got to do so-and-so, and you need the strength, so we better just put that off till before you know it, you don't even do it. So see, if something is coming up to you, it's because something is in here, and you keep putting that down and putting that down and putting that down, and you get in trouble because then you don't even hear it or feel it anymore. Then you're in trouble. So don't let this, one time I was like being bombarded. It seemed like the people that was around me that I knew and associated with, they wasn't having to live like I had to live, Johnny. It seemed like they could go to church, not go to church, tithe, not tithe, cuss somebody out, bust somebody in the mouth, whatever the case may be. And we still saved, and we still love Jesus, and I'm still going to get the same thing you're going to get. Are you kidding me? Now, Obama might want to do that. Y'all remember that when he was in office, wanted to give everybody an A? Because we sure don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. God don't give an A unless you get an A. And see, I told you last week, the things that we do here and now, we get rewarded here and now, but then also we don't get it all here. There's things that we'll do here and now that we get some reward for it, or maybe no reward right here. But the reward will be up there, more than what it is down here. I told you before, but the Bible says we're gods. The Bible talks about how that we will rule over cities. Do you really think, are you really going to put somebody, a thief, in charge of your money? Come on, people, let your elevator go to the top. God don't either. He says if you can't take care of money, who's going to entrust into you the true riches? Which is the kingdom and the things of God. Ain't nobody going to trust you. I mean, you're dumb if you give your money to a thief. When you go back and you want your $10, see these headphones? Now be like, you better give me my $10. I'm going to take some headphones out of your tail. I don't give my money to no thief. My point is, God don't either. See, our culture And even some churches and ministers, and it is sad to say, they have so watered down the Word and living for the Lord that it is not holy anymore to a lot of people. And I'm not talking about you being perfect, because there ain't none of us without flaws. But we are all supposed to be striving and pressing forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So don't get it twisted. Don't think I'm saying something I'm not. But He is a holy God, Sandy. And He said, don't touch the unclean thing. Come out from among them. He said, and I'll be your God and you'll be my people. And you got people out here today, they can't for the life of them, so they say. But usually when you say it or think it down in here, you know if you listen. They, for the life of them, according to them, they can't figure out, why is my life always in a mess? They got saved, but their life is always in a mess. Everything they got is always tore up. They ain't never got enough money. They ain't never got enough clothes. They ain't never got enough stuff to take care of what they need to do. And when I look at their lives, Sandy, not to judge, but to examine. David, he said, behold, I looked, he said, and there was a wall broken down. He said, and I looked at it, he said, and I became wise. What's that mean? I can look at people's lives without judging them, casting a sentence on them and say, hey, the Word says this, they don't line up with that, and I'm not going that direction. Not casting a sentence on them, but I'm not going that direction. Why? I have to judge between right and wrong. I have to judge between good and evil. And this Word is the only thing that tells me that in the Spirit of God inside of me. And they can't figure out for the life of them why they can't ever get ahead. When God's Word is seed, it's incorruptible seed. Your heart is the ground. So you've got at least 66 books, and I don't know how many words is in this book, to plant. But He says you got to have an honest heart. I don't sit there and ask God, do you really think I've been watching too much TV today? How's He going to know? We ain't even been there. If I have to ask that question, reckon why? Because I got something in here. I live in here. The Holy Ghost lives in here. And He said, a little too much TV, you know, cut that off and go pray, or cut that off and go do something, whatever. So if I have to ask that, then I already know I got a problem. Just listen to it. But they cannot figure out why they can never seem to get ahead. This book is full of God's thoughts. It's His thoughts. I write you a letter. What is that? It's my thoughts that has become words that I have put down on a piece of paper. And you read them, and you can plant them in you or whatever you want to do with them. You can believe them. You cannot believe. This book is full of prosperity from your head to your toes and everything concerning you, your family, your finance, everything. It is full of prosperity. So when I see people that are like that, I don't have to wonder why. Just like this, financial prosperity, God has a way of doing it. Number one, if you've wronged people, do them right. Y'all not saying nothing. If you bought that Kirby vacuum cleaner and you promised to pay for the thing, I don't care if it tore up in 2 months, you pay for it. Instead of this, in here knowing you should pay for it because you gave your word that you would do that on the dotted line, whatever it is, 600 easy payments for the. I can't believe we even bought one of the things. Just goes to show you how dumb you are without the Lord sometimes or all the time. Scotty started praying, God prospers. Because we need everything. Everything, we need it just about. We can't, you know, I mean, 3 times a day sometimes we eat pinto beans because you can get a big bag of them. I mean, we got nothing and we need everything. First thing God starts saying when Scotty starts praying, God prospers. Go pay for that Kirby vacuum cleaner. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, that lying devil that talked me into all that paperwork of them payments and all that stuff, and the thing ain't, y'all not saying nothing. We got Christians that they will go to buy here, pay here, sign on the dotted line, I'll come pay you this every week, and they never see you again. Honest and good heart. I understand people. We make mistakes. We have problems. Things arise that we didn't expect. So if you can't, what do? You humble yourself. And you call them or you go to them and say, look, I'm sorry. I agreed to do this. But right now, I just can't. Can I give you $10 on it or whatever I've got? You know, and start trusting the Lord. God, I'm sorry. Whatever I need to change, whatever I need to do. And then you go and you do. We don't hear about this no more. I mean, we got Christians, they got a yard full of 5 different cars and they didn't pay for any of them. I know what that's like, to have a vehicle that you owe on, sitting in your yard, and you're paying insurance and tag and all this other stuff on it, and it don't work, and you're still making the payments. They ain't much I ain't been through. Ain't much. And every time we would trust God, and every time we would be honest, God, we told them we would do this. Not going to lie, not going to dodge them. Y'all not saying nothing. I mean, you got Christians borrowing $20 from you. Your brother sitting on the... I don't know if this happened. This is just a scenario, okay? I don't know nothing about nothing. Say Sandy borrowed $20 from Johnny and says, okay, Johnny, I'm going to pay you back next week. And don't come to church next week because they owe you $20, Johnny. Right? Come anyway. Humble you. Let me tell you something about all this. When you start studying about faith and trusting God, you will find the most humble and submissive people was the ones that had the greatest faith, not the ones with the most knowledge. Jesus was the most humble, right? He had the greatest faith. Then you got the centurion over there. Listen, you've got all these Pharisees, Sadducees, doctors of the law, well-versed in the scriptures, knowing backwards and forwards and all that. Then you got a Roman centurion guard here. He don't serve God. He don't have a covenant with God. And what's he say? Jesus says, okay, he sends his servants. He says, I'm not even worthy that you come to my house. Oh, the humility. He realizes who he's talking to. And he sends his servants, and they tell him, you know, our master's did this for us and that's for us, and he's got a servant. Would you come to our master's house and heal him? Jesus says, okay, I'll go. What's he do? Sends back word, says, no, don't come. Don't come. Just speak the word. What'd Jesus say? I have not found in where? His people. Those that were supposed to know him. Those that were supposed to be full of faith. So most of the time you find it where you would not expect it. And you don't find it where you think you would. And he tells him, just speak the word only. What's that mean? That means I humble myself. Do you realize the Roman centurion could have had Jesus arrested? He's got masses of people under him. He is a trained killer. Y'all not saying nothing? Biden ain't even got what this dude's got. And he didn't go to Jesus and say, look here, dude, I'm the centurion around here, and I need my servant healed, so you get over here and you do it. No. He humbled himself. And then he said, all you got to do, Jesus, is speak the word. I recognize your authority because I am a man in authority. I got people under me. He said, but I'm also a man that is submissive to authority. And I submit myself to your authority, Jesus. And I know that you have all power and authority. And I know whatever you say, sickness, disease, demons, fear, don't matter. They got to bow at your name, Jesus, in your word. Whatever you say. So if we're going to do this parable and we're going to bring forth this fruit and it's going to glorify God, guess what? We got to be some of the most humble people around. And some of the most submissive people. Well, I submit to God, but I don't submit to no man. You a liar. I don't mean that ugly. That's what the word says. Because see, it's convenient for me to say, I obey the Lord. I don't go to church. I don't tithe. I don't give. I sit in my house. I do whatever I want to do, my own will, my own thing. But I say my blessing. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all getting way too quiet. I'm not trying to, listen, I'm trying to help you. God's trying to help us. Because see, we got these lies on the inside of us and these excuses on the inside of us. And we like to act like we don't know. Yeah, you know. If you're born again, you know. And if you have allowed yourself to be deceived, humble yourself and repent. And he will show you again and go back and pick up the last thing he told you to do. Whatever that might be. Listen, lost people know Christians go to church. God, they're bummed. Don't they? Yeah, and they don't serve God. Lost people know they read their Bible, right? Some of them even have heard about tithing, and they think Christians tithe or whatever. Then you got Christians, they don't go to church, they don't read their Bible, they don't tithe, they don't give. And gonna get the same rewards of all of us that do? No. Don't be deceived, baby, because you're not. I didn't say you're not saved. I didn't say God don't love you. I didn't say God won't help you. But he has a way of financial prosperity, and it is in his word. And any time out of your heart that you will do his word, he watches over his word to make sure it comes to pass. Not one of his words falls to the ground ever. That if you will believe it and receive it and do it, he will back up his end of that partnership every single time. So number one, he says, you want financial prosperity? He says, trust me. He says, bring all of your tithe, which is your first 10%. Where? To my neighbors to pay their light bill? That ain't what he said. He says, into the storehouse. He says, why? That there may be food in my house, D. What's that mean? That we just go give all of God's money to the lost? No, the world thinks like that, and some Christians, sad to say. God did not say bring all the money or finances or tithe into the storehouse so that we could go put the drug addicts up in motels while they do their drugs. I didn't say he wouldn't lead us to do that. That's not necessarily what it's for. Why? He says that there will be food in my house. Why? So every Christian that comes to my house, y'all not saying nothing, that comes to my house that I have chosen for them to be, there will be food to feed you there. Even in the very presence of your enemies, he says in Psalm 23. That if you need finances, it's in here. And if you've been here very long at all and you have been in need financially or whatever, and we knew about it or the Lord led us, that we have helped you. I mean, I could go on and on, starting over 20-something years of people that we have helped. And you know what I have found, Sandy? You probably noticed it too. A lot of times when we do, that's the last time we see them. Then you got it in here so that we can minister to people. We have lights. We have water. We have air conditioning. All this heat, whatever that is. Why? Because he sends his people to his house. We, you know what I hear people, good Lord, this ain't going nothing like what I thought it was going to. That's all right. It ain't my message. I am just the messenger. And whatever he says, that's what I say. I prayed this morning, God put a watch over my mouth that I sin not against you. Now, that I know he's not going to just come cleave my tongue to the roof of my mouth like some Christians say. But in here, I got the Holy Ghost. And if I start getting on the edge, Holy Ghost, don't do that. Don't say that. You hear this, people. Sister so-and-so. You know, I don't want to gossip or nothing, and I'm not gossiping or anything, you know, but let's pray for Sandy. Because, you know, the Bible says. People say the Bible says, start listening real close. The Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered together today, I need you to agree with me. For Sandy, I'm not trying to gossip or tell you her business, but this is happening, you know, when they said this and she did that. I don't need to know all that. See, in here, you're dishonest. You will mask gossip in the form of, let's pray for somebody. Y'all not saying nothing. Been there, done it myself. How y'all think I know some of this stuff? But I'm learning. Don't do that. If I feel prompted to tell you, let's pray or agree for somebody or whatever, I can just leave it at that. You got the same Holy Ghost I got. And if you need to know or a direction to pray, because see, whatever we see on the outside of somebody, that's just the fruit. The root is on the inside, and that's where we need to go. Religion wants to deal with everything on the outside and make everybody just like us. We don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't cuss, and we don't hang around with those that do. But on the inside, you are a thief. You rob God. On the inside of you, you are a thief in your heart. On the inside of you, you are a liar in your heart. But see, the good news is, when you see it, and we can't see it without him. That's why Scotty, he got born again and he cried for 4 hours. Why? Because he could see. He said it was like there had been scales on his eyes and they was removed, and now he could see the things that he had done that hurt his mama, his daddy, me, my parents, all of it. Then he could see it. So when you see it, don't be ashamed or condemned. Thank God for it. Because if he showed it to you, that means he's going to empower you, give you the grace, give you a word, a seed, something to change it. So when you see it, don't act like you don't see it. Be honest. You know, and if you have to tell somebody you're sorry, you're sorry. I thought here all back up, God, I'm about getting tired of being the only one in here that tells anybody I'm sorry. Seems like I got to say I'm sorry. Here lately seemed like not as much as I was there for a little while, you know. It seemed like every time I turned around, I was having to tell somebody in here I was sorry. And I thought, God, they never tell me they're sorry. How many knows that you can be just like Peter? When he tells him what's going to happen to him, and John's laying on his breast, and he says, what about him? What did Jesus tell him? Mind your own business. In today's modern English or country talk, mind your own business. See, I can't get caught up at looking at what the way everybody else lives for God. I can't. How many knows everybody that names the name of Christ don't live for him? And I am not trying to judge in any way whatsoever. We all know what I'm talking about. And I can't serve God out of religion, that this book just becomes a bunch of rules and regulations and do's and don't do's to me. I have to, every one of us has to serve God out of an honest and pure heart. And when God shows us something, don't make excuses for it. God, I see that and I'm sorry. I ask you to help me. Give me your grace, God. Show me. Help me to change. Help me to turn. Because that's all he's wanting to do. Why? Because he wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us in every single way. He said in his word in Jeremiah 29:11 that his plan is good. His plan is not bad. The Bible says in James, I believe it is, that every good gift comes from above. It comes down from God himself. So that's all that it is. Right? Good grief. I can get nowhere here. Woo! So we have to be honest if we want to reap 100-fold. Let's see what I got right here. All right, right quick, since we got just a few minutes left. Look over at James 1. And I'm not saying anything that's a revelation to us today. But I felt like in my spirit this morning that there's this piece of the puzzle out here, and you got that piece. And somebody got that piece over there, and you got this piece over here. But it's like on the inside of my spirit, it's like I could see God in people is bringing all the pieces of the puzzle together to where you can look at it and see the big picture. Now, here in James, chapter 1, verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. He says, knowing this, I'm supposed to know something. He says that the trying of your faith, it worketh patience. So anytime you start having a temptation, a trial, or a test, renew your mind. We started to get into a little bit of this last week. Renew your mind and think opportunity. That's all this is an opportunity to trust God. When you get to where your finances ain't enough to pay your bills, look at, woohoo, opportunity, glory. This takes mind renewal, but that ain't that what he's saying? Count it joy, why? Because you know something. It's to do you good. The devil means it for your bad and to destroy you, but God means it for your good and to take you higher. That these things just be stepping stones higher up into his kingdom and bring him glory. So when you see trials and tests, or they're coming at you, think opportunity. This is just an opportunity for me to trust and believe God. Just an opportunity for me to have that word in my heart and come out my mouth and bearing fruit for God, that He gets glory. And he says there, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it's not coming because you don't have it. Maybe it's coming because you do have it. He says that the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience. Listen to the Amplified. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Now notice that he says, but let patience have her perfect work. Why? That you may be entire, lacking nothing. Now you go back over there to the parable over there in Luke 8. And he talks about, or it may be Mark 4 that says it. It says, and some brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100. This, when you get to this part right here, this is going to help determine whether you get 30% of what you're believing God for, or you get 60% of what you're believing God for, or you get the full 100. Why? He says there, he says, that you be entire, Sandy, that you won't or lack nothing. Do you get it? When you get to that place that you lack nothing, you have received 100-fold harvest. When you're 30, 60, you're lacking. So what I got to do? I got to let that patience work. I like the other word. I don't really care for the word endurance, the way that it's translated in that particular script. Some people do. That's fine. But I get it better when I hear the word perseverance. What's that mean? I told Travis here a while back, we was talking about something, and I told him, I said, listen, son, anybody and everybody can start. Very few finish. Many people can start off in a marathon because this is not a sprint. But they don't make it all the way. So if you're going to make it all the way, you got to let that word get in there and you got to hang on to it and let it stay. And let the trials and the tests be burning off the impurities of your faith. To where the Bible talks about in 1 Peter that it comes forth as pure gold. It says that that faith is precious in the sight of God. Right? But you got to let it keep working. I got to stop because our time is actually a little bit over. And I'll be getting in trouble.